familiar with today's passage. It is about the tongue. Well, if I ask you what our tongue is for, how would you answer? Well, do you know that our tongue is a digestive organ that facilitates the movement of food during mastication and assists swallowing? And besides, it also gives us the tasting function. Now, do you know that all of us have about 10,000 taste buds on our small tongue and around the other areas of our mouth? And these allow us to taste the flavor of the food. And hopefully, whoever cooks for you is a good cook and you can enjoy that experience. But this morning, we are not going to talk about food and taste today. The key focus of this passage is about speech, which is another important function of our tongue. And more specifically, it is about taming our tongue. Speech. It can be in the form of conversation with others, making presentations, like the worship team, they can use it for singing, or we can use it for praising others. But at the same time, we can also use our tongue to boast, to gossip, to scold, to swear, and also to make dirty jokes. So you see, our tongue can do many different things. And this small little thing has great powers. In the passage, James highlights that there are two great powers of our tongue. First, it's about to control the whole body. And second, it destroys life and sets it on fire. We will look at it one by one. Let's look at the first one, controls the whole body. In verse 3, it says that the tongue, though small in size, has the power to control the whole body, just as the bit in the mouth of a horse. Now, do you know what is a horse bit is? It is a small metal device that is put into the mouth of a horse, so that the rider can control the movement of the horse by pulling the bit through the ring. It is like pulling the hair of a person. If you drag the person by the hair, the person will follow you for sure. And also in verse 4, James also points out that the tongue can control us like the rudder of a ship. And the rudder is like the steering wheel of a car. And you will turn the ship or the car to the direction you want. Now, can you believe that our small tongue can have such power over us? When we think about speaking, we often limit ourselves to consider the actual conversations we have with the other individuals. But let me ask you, have you ever talked to yourself? Not necessarily out loud, but inside your head or in your heart. And I confess that I do talk to myself, sometimes out loud, okay? But have you ever done that? And these talks can be positive or negative. And very often, these talks are the critics of ourselves. Most often, it's evaluating what we have been doing. Now, have you ever mumbled to yourself like, why on earth did I do that? I have. And I suppose all of us would do to a certain extent. We may be saying different things to ourselves, but when we let these self-talks affect our actions, our self-esteem, and control our lives, then these self-talks become the bit and the rudder of the ship in our life. Then there will be a big problem. Let me share with you a story. There was a little girl called Jane. Unlike her older siblings, who always were the top 5 students in class, she did not do well in school at all. Her parents always compared her to her older siblings and saying that she was never good enough. This thought remained in Jane's heart. A little voice in her repeatedly told her that She was not good enough, and she believed that. Though she graduated from university with first-class honor, but she continued to tell herself that she was not good enough, and this thought shaped her whole life. She would not apply for some jobs that were good positions, suited to her skill set, because she thought that she was not good enough. She refrained from participating in any type of competitive games because she thought that she would lose anyways. She was not good enough comparing to others, so why bother? Not being good enough became her motto, the bit and rudder in her life. Let's dig deep into ourselves. Do we notice our inner tongue, i.e., the voice inside us, persistently telling us who we are and what we should do? Has it ever told us ideas like, I must win, I can't be the loser? Or, that is not fair for me? Or, I will never act like my parents? All these remarks reflect what we have experienced in the past. And over time, they are carved deeper and deeper into our hearts. And it is not easy for us to get rid of them, as they repeatedly come back to haunt us, driving our thoughts and behavior, just like the bit to the horse and the rudder to the sheep. Let's ask ourselves, are there any thoughts that always pop up in our mind? What are they saying or telling us? Do they influence our actions, especially in a negative way? If so, how can we stop them from affecting us? Now, other than dictating our life, James in verse 5 teaches that our small tongue can inflict upon us great calamities, just like a small spark can set off a forest fire. Talking about wildfires, I think we need to talk about our busy interior wildfires that we are having right now. I think it's still going on right now, right? I check on the internet almost like every day and check like how bad right now is. And I noticed that in middle of July, there have been like 230 wildfires. And last night when I checked, it was about 160, still going on. And it is about 9,000 square kilometers of forest that have been burned. And over 7,000 people have been evacuated. And thousands of firemen, some of them are even coming from different countries, came to help out put out the fires. And even in Vancouver, in Greater Vancouver, we could feel the severity of the wildfires when we looked up to the sky last week. What did you see? Smoke, right? The sky was not blue. It was kind of white and grayish. And also we could smell the burnt smell in the air. So we know that there is a great destructive power of a small spark. Do you know that our small tongue can have the same damaging power? James teaches that if we don't tame our tongue, we are giving it the full power to destroy our own or someone's life. And a lot of times, we unintentionally say things that may hurt others. For example, when a mom says to her son, "How can you not be able to do such a simple math?" And then she mutters under her breath, "Idiot." Or when we criticize our colleague, "Not sure how he could get his professional license. His engineering drawing is so messy." Or when we jokingly say to the latecomers, "Oh, here comes the turtle family." We may be just expressing our frustration, but have we thought that how the people at the receiving end of these comments would feel? What might be the result of hearing such comments? I suppose the son, after hearing his mom's comment, may feel dejected and might start thinking that he really is an idiot and he may hate math from then onwards. Our criticism regarding our colleagues may harm their reputation or even like reduce their promotion opportunities. The latecomers may not like being the joke of the evening, and then our comment will cause a rift in the relationship. So you see, our small tongue can be very damaging. And further, when we say things like this, are we not in essence boasting ourselves at the expense of others? We are actually implying to them that we are better than them. As mentioned, our small tongue, if not tamed, can kill a relationship or destroy an organization. So many church splits start from disagreements on small issues. Initially, the church members are able to keep their cool and discuss the issues rationally. The situation heats up when the issue is not resolved. Then they start to take it personally and start to criticize each other. When the issue is still not resolved, each side starts to lobby other members to join their camp. What comes next is the polarization of the congregation, and eventually this will lead to a church split. Now, can you see what the small tongue can do? Basically, it is the main driver of the whole church split process. It starts off with discussing, criticizing, lobbying, and attacking each other with our tongue. No wonder King David declared in Psalms 52, 2 and verse 4, saying that our tongue plots destruction like a sharpened razor. It loves to say harmful words. Let's reflect. How did our tongue hurt others in the past? For example, what did we say to the person whom we dislike? Did our tongue help us to destroy a relationship? What role did it play in the destruction process? Now, have you thought about how come the tongue have all this damaging power? James enlightened us in verse 6 by teaching that our tongue is the world of evil among the parts of our body. It can set our whole course of life on fire because it itself is set on fire by hell. Now, we may think that James is exaggerating, but if we can remember what Jesus says in Matthew, we know that James is telling us the truth. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 18 to 20, Jesus comments that what our tongue speaks comes from our heart. Our tongue reveals the inner thoughts which dictate the speech of our tongue, and we cannot disguise it. I can attest to that. This is what I witnessed in Hong Kong. There was a very elegantly dressed lady, very sophisticated, and she was in the street trying to catch a taxi. One would think that she was so well educated and she should be coming from a good family by the way she dressed. And meanwhile, a boy carrying a huge backpack. You all have huge backpack when you go to school, right? So he was carrying a huge backpack, running, dashing through the pavement. And he passed by her. Because he was running, unfortunately, his huge backpack went around and accidentally hit the lady. The boy was horrified and quickly apologized to her. But she could have none of it. Although she was not hurt, she still kicked up a big fuss and started screaming four-letter words at the boy. Prior to opening her mouth, I truly admired her from afar. But once she opened her mouth, her tongue betrayed her and revealed to me what a lowly person she was. I imagine that our tongue is like the bottle cork of an unlabeled dark bottle. Until we remove the cork and pour out the contents inside the bottle, no one knows what is it inside. So when we open our mouths to speak, it is like pouring or uncorking our hearts, which dictates our speech. What we have to say pours out of our mouths. If our heart is filled with bitterness, jealousy, or anger, then our tongue will lash out hostile words to hurt others. On the contrary, if our heart is filled with meekness and kindness, what comes out will be comforting words to edify others. Hence, our tongue is in essence a channel to reflect, to show what kind of a person we are. It reveals our character, our thoughts, or even our innate evilness that is hidden so deep down inside us. Now, some may argue that, well, sometimes we may slip out of tongue in anger and say some nasty word occasionally. But that does not necessarily mean that we are evil inside, because we use the same tongue to praise God as well. This shows that we have some goodness inside us, at least. But James rebuilds such argument. In verse 9 to 10, he claims that when we use our tongue to praise God and also use the same tongue to curse others, it just shows that we are hypocrites. Because when we curse a person who is created in God's image, we are actually cursing God as well. We are blaming him for creating such a creature, nasty creature. In James chapter 1, 26, James says, "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless." James emphasized the point in verse 11 to 12. He points out that both fresh and salt water cannot flow from the same spring. Fig trees will not bear olives, and grape vines will not bear figs. And the whole point is, dear brothers and sisters, we need to ask ourselves, what is rooted in us? What does the source of our thought, speech, and action stand for? What do we say, or why do we say what we said? Don't fall into the trap of deceiving ourselves that we are good and pure just because we say something nice occasionally. As long as we continue to criticize others, mock others, boast, gossip, scold, or make dirty jokes, we should be aware and alert that our hearts may be filled with evil and bitterness. And James concludes that evil words come from an evil heart, harsh words is out of a harsh spirit, and cursing words must be out of a contemptuous heart for God. If so, what can we do about it? How can we tame this tongue of ours? James says that we need to tame our hearts, for behind the scene, our hearts control our tongue. But the heart cannot be tamed by human effort. It can be only tamed by the divine wisdom. And in verse 17 and 18, this divine system is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive. It is full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Now, this divine wisdom replaces our inner evil sentiments, such as greediness, bitterness, or the urge to outshine others. It will be replaced with the loving character of God and his kindness. Now, let's imagine, if what is entrusted in us, in this bottle of ours, the heart, is the purity and holiness of God, what will happen when we uncork our mouth? No nasty word or hostile words will pour out, as there is no evilness inside us. The divine wisdom will help us, guide us to reap a harvest of righteousness. But how can the divine wisdom guide us to bear the righteous fruit? Well, it can be very simple. It can be as simple as adding in a tiny bit of God's compassion inside us, and things will be so different. For instance, this tiny bit of God's compassion will give us more empathy towards others when they make mistakes. So instead of judging them based on the wrongs that they have done, we will look at their struggles that they may have and be more understanding of why they did what they did. And thus, we can show our compassion to them. Now, how do I do with my time? Is it over? Can I do a sharing, like a story of mine? It's a failure. It occurred right in here, okay? It was one Sunday morning, 9:20. It was 10 minutes before the Cantonese Sunday worship. And that morning, it was raining hard. It was raining so hard, and the traffic was very congested. It was from about 5 or 10 minutes before the worship service. And I was so anxious because the sister who was leading the worship have not arrived, okay? So I'm thinking, what would happen if she did not come? Then how can we start off the worship without our worship singing? And I was so worried at that time. But at that very moment, I saw the sister rushing in. And she quickly apologized to us because of the rain, because of the traffic. So we were about to start the worship service. Then I noticed something. I noticed that what she was wearing was her ring boots. And the ring boots was very brightly colored with very crazy pattern. Now, I know, I'm not going to tell you. Let me tell you, Cantonese worship service is so different from the English. Worship service is more for the seniors. You know, for the seniors, they are more traditional, very bright color, crazy pattern ring boots. And I'm thinking, that may not be appropriate, like, for leading worship. So I said to her quietly, I said, "Well, do you have another pair of shoes to change?" The sister was very frustrated with me and said, "I'm surprised you are more concerned with my ring boots than me. I really struggle hard to come on time in the rain." I was struck speechless, and she was absolutely right. I did not have the divine wisdom at that time to focus on her rather than her boots, the ring boots. All I care about is whether she had lived up to my dress code standard for worship. It could have served me and her much better had I brought up the concern of her getting wet or maybe catching a cold. Though it was a few years back, it's a long time ago, I still blame myself for being so inconsiderate and hard-hearted. And I owe her an apology. Well, so you see, the wisdom of God enables us to have his compassion to accept and care for the people around us. And such compassion and care will guide us to speak comforting words like a stream in the desert to encourage and edify others. And this divine system can also rectify the negative self-talks that we talked about just now. When the self-talks keep on repeating themselves inside us like a broken record, the divine wisdom will interrupt this repetitive pattern and enlighten us to know that we are the precious children of God and we do not have to rely on others' approval or our own success. We do not have to compete with others for what we need on earth because God will provide for us. With the heavenly wisdom, we can choose not to follow the little voice inside us. We can be a person of true freedom. Isn't that great? Now, here comes the most important questions. How can we acquire this divine wisdom? Well, actually, it is very simple. It is not as hard as you think. All we need to do is to take the basic step as a Christian, i.e., to read the Bible, to read the scripture daily. God the Father will instill, will put in us his wisdom and truth when we read his words. In conclusion, if we want to tame our tongue, we need to control our hearts. And what do you want to fill your hearts with? Do you want to fill it with the poison of Satan, such that cursing words always come out from your mouth? Or do you want to fill it with the fragrance of Christ, so that it will guide you to say comforting words to bless others? The choice is yours. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding us to be alert with our tongue. Thanks for giving us the scriptures so that we can fill our hearts with your wisdom and your love. May we ask you to grant us the desired heart for your words and a watchful mind to tame our tongue, so that our tongue can be a channel of blessing to others. We ask all this in your name. Amen.